Professor Al, this is great. As Professor Al, we're just praying right now. This is truly a love story, but it's not the regular love story that we hear about. It's the love story between God and us. You know, we saw a family that completely left God's will when things got tough, and we discussed that in chapter one. That when things get tough, because things will get tough for all of us, it's going to happen. We're all going to have these seasons. You know, and when things get tough, we shouldn't just leave God and try to find solutions our way. When things get tough, we need to connect with God even more. We need to scream, we need to cry out to God even more, ask Him for help. But we see this family leaving God, leaving God's presence. The man dies, the sons die, and then now the woman is left there with her two daughters-in-law in a completely foreign country, that country that doesn't like the Israelites very much. She has no power, she has no strength, she has nothing but these two poor girls that were left behind as well. One of them, so she decided to come back to her family's land, to the land of Israel, and one of them decided to come with her, the other one stayed behind. Ruth, here that we see the story about her, was willing to work. From day one, she came back. She was willing to work. She was willing to do what it takes to survive and to make her mother-in-law survive. She went out to the fields. She worked in jobs that she's never had before. She did certain things that she's never done before. To just go and work and in the heat of the day and to glean the barley and all of that. A lot of things she's never done, but here she is doing it. You know, this reminds me a lot of our stories with God, like how we met with God, and we see ourselves doing things like going to church, being vulnerable with people, like, you know, sharing our stories, sharing our struggles, you know, asking someone for help. These are not normal things that we did before meeting Christ. We were mostly proud, we were mostly private, we were mostly, you know, scared to share our emotions or our heart with people. But when we came to meet God, we found the community of believers, we found our brothers and sisters that we can share our struggles, our fear, our emotions, our success, our, you know, our good days and our bad days, asking someone to pray for us. A lot of things have changed since we joined the army of believers. We see in chapter two, we see that Boaz had a lot of surprises for Ruth. You know, he noticed her, he told her to stay with him, to stay with his women, and to only come to his field, to not go anywhere else. And the first day at the job, her first day, she picked up enough barley for her and for her mother-in-law for about 5 days to a week. You know, this was an amazing thing. She was trying to find one meal, and there she is, being provided for a long time. This is what happens when we're in the presence of God. A lot of people try to convince us, this world try to convince us that relationship with God is full of the do not do's, full of the things I'm going to give up, the things I'm going to get rid of, the things that I'm not going to have. But once we come to God, we see that our relationship with God is just full of abundance, truly full of abundance. There is so much that He is giving us that it's not just for us, it's for us, and it overflows to other people. You know, that's what we found out in chapter two. In chapter three, we talked about it yesterday. We see there is last week. It felt like it was yesterday. We see the restoration of also Naomi. She's had a tough life. You know, Naomi was a follower, and she lost everything. And when she came back to the land of Israel, she did not even want people to call her Naomi anymore, which means pleasant. She wanted people to call her Mora or bitter, you know, because of how that's how she felt. But then a little bit of the time, Boaz started coming in the scene. And as Dina emphasized the last time, several times, that when you hear the word Boaz, who do you think of?
Jesus.
Jesus. There we go. And when you hear Ruth or Naomi, just think of you and me. You know, just think of our what God is doing in our lives and how God is restoring us. We saw last week, that Naomi's maturity and restoration started by trying to find that permanent rest for Ruth, you know, and the permanent rest is not going to happen because they have enough food in the house. It's not going to happen because all of their fields and farms are restored to them. It's not going to happen because they go to Moab when things are doing well. The permanent rest is going to happen when we are connected to Boaz, when you and I are connected to Jesus.
Yes.
This is when that permanent rest happens. This is when you and I find our home. And then redirecting everything and redirecting the attention back to who? To Boaz, to Jesus. You know, whatever it is that you're going through right now, please, please, please do not look at the waves. Do not look at the storms and how high they are. Do not look at the crowd and say, how are we going to feed thousands and thousands of people? How are we going to pay these bills? How are we going to survive this economy? How are we going to survive this, what are we in? And the pandemic, how are we going to do? No, that's looking away from Jesus. Look at Jesus. Redirect all of your attention to Jesus and watch him do his work. That's what she advised her daughter-in-law to do. Go to Boaz. And number three, teaching and advising how to connect with Boaz. And sorry, this has been like a very long introduction, but it's necessary.
Yes.
And today we'll start with verse four, and Dina will start us with that verse.
Okay, so in verse four it says, now this, remember, this is Naomi speaking to Ruth. It says, and be sure to notice where he lays down. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down there, and he will tell you what to do. This next section that we're about to jump into really, okay, remember, first of all, remember everybody, we've got two parallel things happening, right? We've got the truth of the story of Boaz and Ruth and Naomi. This is historical. This really happened. And what's happening there historically. And then there's sort of the metaphor that sits on top of that, of Jesus and our relationship with him and how we as believers really are to draw close to Boaz, who is the picture of Jesus Christ. Now, in this section, we're really going to start looking at intimacy or true closeness with God. This is now Ruth and Boaz. They're about to enter into a relationship that is so, so intimate. And having true intimacy with God requires us to be very attentive to where he is. You notice here, Naomi says to her, be sure to notice where he lies. So it's very important that we're very attentive to where God is, to what he's doing, to what the particular situation is, to what work he's involved in. All of these things are really important so that we can have intimacy with God, which just means that we can be close to him in the most intense and pure way. And God requires that we draw near to him in order for us to really feel that true intimacy. Now, the word of God says that he is always there. He is always there waiting. What he desires is that it would be our choice to draw close to him, right? Naomi here says to her, go and see where he is and then go there. And so, you know, when we think about like true intimacy, what they're about to enter into, just spoiler alert, what they're about to enter into here is a marriage relationship, Ruth and Boaz. And really, that's the most intimate of the human relationships that there are on earth. There's nothing closer in our human understanding to being the most intimate that you can be with another person as you will in marriage. And all the married people said, amen. So here's the thing. If I want to get to the place where I develop that really true intimacy, there's some things I have to do. Okay. 22 years ago, when I met this incredible man, I was super drawn to him. Okay. Albert and Delia will amen to that. They know. They were there. They saw it all happen.
We got engaged after a prayer meeting at their house.
Actually, yeah. So,
if you're single or if you know anyone who's single, keep coming to these meetings.
Yes, yes. They're way...
Miracles happen.
Way better than Bumble, okay? You don't have to swipe. It's all... Anyway. So my point is, I was just completely taken by him. I was drawn truly, truly. And besides the fact that he's so handsome and all of that amazing stuff, no, I was truly, truly drawn to Jesus inside of him. I really was. It was as if I had known him all of my life and I couldn't stop talking. Okay. Talk, all the time. 5-hour conversation. I mean, we were on the phone constantly. Does anybody remember those like beginnings of a relationship? I'm sure it's not just our things. Yes, yes. The beginnings of a relationship involve a lot of communication, involve a lot of drawing near. Now, what if I said, you know, hey, I'm really attracted to this person. I really feel like I'm meant to be with this person. I feel like God's drawing me to this person. Hey, let's just book the church date and get on with it. What's the big deal? Well, it doesn't quite work that way, does it? There has to be an attentiveness to where he is, to what he does, to finding out what he's interested in, what his passions are, what his dreams are, what his hopes are. Relationships require work. And this is just as true in our relationship with God. Now, that doesn't mean that God isn't there and he's waiting for you and wanting you and all of that. But if what you're after is intimacy with God, true closeness with God, well, that requires a little bit more than the status quo.
Very good. You know, here is another thing about this particular meeting. She needed to go to where Boaz is, notice where he will be, and just sit there. The thing is, a lot of times we get distracted during that time. When you and I are trying to spend time with God, and I'm going to tell on myself today, okay? When you and I are when I'm trying to spend time with God, I find myself distracted by so many things, okay? And if you say that doesn't happen to you, we need to talk after the meeting, okay? Because we all get distracted, right? I am not kidding. I would come and say, okay, I'm coming. I need to see the glory of God. I need to pray. I need to pour my heart before God. And I find myself thinking of the Lakers. Why the Lakers? I have no idea. You know, or I find myself thinking about something completely different. How did I get there? I have no idea. But it does happen. Distractions happen. And remember, Ruth was going to a place that's familiar to her. She's seeing work that she's seen before. She's probably seeing people that she knows. She's seeing things that she knows and she's familiar with. And you and I struggle with that often. Think of how many times you went to church and while the pastor is preaching, while someone's speaking, and this is familiar, I've been here before, but your heart is somewhere else because of how familiar that place is. You know, a lot of times when we're sitting at church, this is a struggle for me. I'm a preacher. You know, I like to preach. I do not like to teach. I like to preach because that's what I feel like that's what God has given me, right? I go to church and I hear something, okay? And God opens my eyes or opens my heart to something else. And I start thinking in my head, oh, this could be a great sermon because this is connected to this and this is connected to this and this is connected. That's not what I'm called to do. I am called to go and be intimate with God. Listen to the pastor, listen to the preacher, listen to what God has to tell me. But I let sometimes my familiarity with the situation, with what I've done before, with what I'm used to, take my attention away and distract me from what God is doing at that moment. See, at that moment, I need to be intimate with God. I need to wait. I need to pour my heart, empty myself. This is what intimacy with God is. emptying myself, emptying my heart, emptying my mind, my thoughts, and just concentrate everything on who? On God.
Mm-hmm.
This is a skill, I'm telling you this before God, that it's taking me a lot of training till this day. After 20 plus years with God, it's taking me every day. I see it as a struggle, but I also see it as an opportunity. Is it better today than it was a month ago? Yes. Is it better than it was 10 years ago? 100,000,000% yes. Is it better than 20 years ago? Absolutely. Completely different human being. And is it going to get better next week and the month after? Absolutely. The more training we do in coming before God and avoiding distractions, finding where God is, this is where God is. This is where I need to be. You know, David said that I'd rather just one day with the Lord than thousands of years. I'd rather one moment just seeing and being in the house of God, just a few moments, just to see him, to see his glory, than spending thousands of years somewhere else. That's that moment. And I'm telling you, once you have it once, you're going to want it again and again and again. See where he lies down, and this is where God rest. This is a training that you and I need to keep working on for the rest of our lives. She told her to go and uncover his feet, and just he will tell you what to do. What's her name? Naomi is not trying to have Ruth seduce Boaz. Okay, that's not what we're doing here. That's not what she's doing. She's letting the man eat and drink and go and rest and just uncover his foot and just sit there, uncovering his feet just to help him in, you know, later on to just very much wake up. And also there's a little bit of a metaphor. You're all covered, but there's a part of you that's still uncovered. And I am part of that part of you, because according to the law, you are my redeemer. And right now I'm without covering. I need covering. I need someone to cover me. We're going to get to that at the end of this, at the end of this part today. And then she tells her, he will tell you what to do. Okay. We often come to God with lots of questions, right? Lots of concerns, lots of confusion, which is fine. Absolutely fine. The problem is we come, give God the questions, give him the concerns, talk to him about the confusions, and never wait for this part where it says he will tell you what to do. And that requires waiting on God. That requires us to wait and wait and wait until God wakes up, until Boaz wakes up, until God moves something in us. This is that waiting game that you and I don't like very much. But you and I are not going to see deliverance until we wait. Until we wait on God to notice, where, to see where we are, and until we learn how to wait on him. Verse 5.
Verse 5, it says, I will do everything you say, Ruth replied. Verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor that night and followed the instructions of her mother-in-law.
Okay, so we see here the obedience of Ruth, okay? I'm going to give you three words, okay? Just to think about them, just going to give you the highlight because we're running a little bit late, but I'm going to give you the highlights and just remember these three words. We're talking about here Ruth obeying her mother-in-law. This is not an easy task. This is not like really, like think of it. She's telling her, go and wait. And then when he goes to sleep, just uncover his foot and just lie down and just sleep there. This is awkward and uncomfortable. And I don't understand it. But you know what? She obeyed it anyway. Here are the three words that I want us to learn today when it comes to obedience. Number one, humility. Okay. Ruth was so humble to listen to what her mother-in-law is telling her. She's seeing someone older than her, someone who might know more than her. And you know what? I don't understand what you're telling me right now. I don't get it. but I am going to be humble enough to accept what you're telling me. This word is almost out of our today's dictionary. We call it so many things, and we say so many things against this word. The word humility and listening and to be submissive to someone, this is completely out of our dictionary. Humility, okay? When we want to obey, we need to be humble, okay? If you're not humble in your heart, it's going to be a little bit hard for you to obey. If you're having some difficulties with obedience, maybe we need to check our pride to see if there is some part in my heart that's still very proud. Then trust. So being humble, being trusting that person that tells me, that's telling me what to do, trusting that she loves me, trusting that she knows what the good things for me, trusting that she has my best, her intentions for me are for my best, trusting that person. And then finally is love. I know she loves me, and I know I love her back, and I know my track record with her has been nothing but great things. You know what? That makes my obedience process much easier. If I am humble to listen to that person, if I trust that person, if I trust that they want the best for me, and if that person loves me. If we try to get those three words and apply it to our relationship with God, how much does God love us? How much did God show his love to us? Okay? Who else knows more than God? Who else should we trust more than God? Okay? And if I'm going to be humble, who else should I be humble before? God, I mean, remember the enemies, that Satan's first sin was what? Pride. He didn't want to submit to God. He didn't. He refused. So humility, trust, love will lead to obedience. And Ruth didn't just tell her mother-in-law, I will do what you say. There is a parable that Jesus gave in the Bible. You can go back and read it about two sons. Their father told them to go and work in the field. One said, yes, father, I will go and work. And he never went to work. The other one said, no, I'm not going to work. But then he repented and he did go to work. Which one did his father's will? The one who did the work. Not the one who just spoke the words with his mouth and then didn't do anything. So here, Ruth is putting her hands at feet where her words were. So she said, I will go. And she did actually exactly what her mother-in-law told her. And also just remember this. The sin entered the world because of disobedience. Right? Because of, obedience is a big part. We can honestly spend weeks and weeks talking about this. But we're just, you know, I felt God put this on my heart to share it today. Sin entered the world because of disobedience. God told Adam and Eve, do not eat from this tree. Guess what they did? They ate from that tree, right? But life came into the world through what? Through obedience. Who obeyed? Jesus obeyed. He obeyed the Father in everything all the way to the cross. So as Adam and Eve brought sin through disobedience, Jesus brought life through his obedience. You and I today, by obeying the word of God, we can bring life to our homes. We can bring life to our children. We can bring life to our workplace. We can bring life to this country that's dying one day at a time. We can bring life. We can bring life to our communities. We can bring life to everything around us by obeying the word of God.
As Assam mentioned, and we can kind of go through scripture and see this over and over and over again, this illustrated, that obedience lies in direct parallel to destiny. That when people obey, they walk into the destiny that God has laid out for them. But first, we have to walk in obedience. And I think of this because I feel like there have been times in my own life, I'm just being honest, where I was in disobedience. There was something that God was telling me to do, and I wasn't doing it. And then I kind of like wondered why my life was in a certain place, or why something that I really, really thought God really had for me wasn't happening. And so let's think about that in our own lives. Let's apply it to our own lives. That is there something in our life today that maybe has been a letdown or something that really hasn't happened? Is it just that it wasn't God's will to happen, and maybe it wasn't a destiny for you to fall into? Or was there maybe back there a line of obedience, a disobedience? Because obedience and destiny really lie parallel.
It's really good. I mean, look at what happened to her when she obeyed.
That's right.
This happens.
Look what happened to me, everybody. Look what I got.
All right, verse 7. Come on, we're running out of time.
Okay. After Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he lay down at the far end of the pile of grain and went to sleep. Then Ruth came quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down.
Okay, so after a very long day of work, long, long day of work, I don't expect you guys to know how it is being in the harvest, but I know how it is to being in the harvest. And really, like, I've been there, you know, my whole family, every single one is a farmer, you know, so I know that feeling. I've been there, and I wasn't there to work. I was there to just as a kid to watch, you know. So I know that feeling. I know how tiring. I know the heat, the ashes. I know that you come home, you feel like there are needles on your body because of the dirt, the ashes, the heat, the sweat. It's not easy. So after a long day, Boaz, remember, is a mighty, wealthy man of God, right? Mm-hmm. After a long day, everyone leaves and everyone goes home. But Boaz stays with the harvest.
Yeah.
Boaz stays there with the barley because Boaz cannot trust his harvest with anyone. He has to be the one that's there guarding his harvest. And we see here, after Boaz finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits. What makes Jesus in good spirit? There is a story, if you want to write this down, John 4. I would ask you today, go read this story. A story about the meeting between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, right? Jesus is walking so many miles in the heat with his disciples, not resting. They're not an air-conditioned car or house or anything like that. They're not blasting any ECs. No, they're walking, they're tired. And they get really hungry and tired. So Jesus tells the disciples, go into the city and buy us some food. All of that for Jesus, for them to leave and for Jesus to have this encounter with this Samaritan woman. He talks to her, the conversation, we all know the story. He restores her soul. She goes from someone who is desperate for the attention and love of man into someone who is preaching the word of God. Not shy to share her testimony, not shy to share where she was and what she was doing and how far God brought her. This is like truly one of the most powerful stories of transformation in the Bible. The disciples come back to Jesus with food and drinks, and he goes, I am full. So they thought someone did what? Brought him food. Someone brought him food, and he goes, my food is not this that you're looking at. My food is not pretzels and snacks and water, and my food is completely different. His food is to do the Father's will. His food is to see the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're talking about this Boaz. His food was not just, he ate, that's fine. He ate and had a drink and now he's sleeping. But when we're thinking of our Boaz, his food, what makes him rest, is to see God's perfect will in your life and in my life.
Amen.
Would you make him rest tonight? Would I make him rest tonight?
Amen.
Would I bring some joy to his heart? Would I make heaven rejoice tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Really, not just by speaking these words or leading the Bible study with Dina and like being with you guys. Would I bring him rest and joy tonight by doing his will in my life, mm-hmm. by having a repentant heart, by having a humble heart, by doing the things that he wants me to do. Jesus was full after he did the Father's will. And he taught that lesson to his disciples. My prayer is for you and I to learn that lesson as well. He lay down, we're talking about Boaz, at the far end of the pile of grain and went to sleep. He wanted to make sure that even all the way to the edge is protected and guarded. Don't think of yourself that you're an afterthought. Jesus is day and night awake. Not one moment of the day goes without you being watched by him letting go of you from his sight.
Remember last week we talked about how Boaz was winnowing. Remember we talked, everybody remember that? How you use a big fork and you throw the pile of barley up and the ash and the all the leftover broken pieces are blown away, and what's left at the bottom of the pile is the harvest. This is the harvest that we're talking about. So Boaz is sitting now protecting the purified part of this grain, the purified grain. He is sitting and just faithfully, intentionally watching it and protecting it from the devourer, from those who would come and steal and try to take it. When Assam tells me of the days of the harvest, the pomegranate harvest that he would be in on, the reason why they sat out with the harvest is so that others wouldn't come and steal the harvest. And this is really an image of Boaz watching over the harvest, watching over the work of the ministry, the work of the kingdom, the souls that are meant to be changed and purified. He is watching over them, and he does not leave that space. How many of us know Boaz was a wealthy man? He had a nice house. We're about to find out. Ruth is about to go live there, and it's going to be great. But he chose to sleep on the threshing floor because that harvest is so important to him.
You know, then we see Ruth came quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Again, guys, like, think of what she had to go through. This had to be so awkward, right? Mm-hmm. So awkward. I don't understanding. I don't get it. And if you are thinking the same thing, you're in a great place, because that means you're normal. Because sometimes we feel the same way when we come into the presence of God. We feel like, this is so awkward. I'm just waiting here, waiting, waiting, waiting. I'm not listening to anything. Nothing is changing. I'm just listening to the clock. Tick, tick. You know that noise that just like makes you go crazy? What is happening? What's happening is you're waiting. What's happening is there is timing for everything. What's happening is that the clock is about to turn. Midnight, at that specific time, at that specific day, Boaz is going to wake up. At that specific time, at that specific day, the king is going to lose his sleep. If you remember the book of Nehemiah, the king is going to lose his sleep. He's going to wake up in the middle of the night, and he's going to have a book come to be read to him, and he's going to open the book. And the page he's going to open the book to is what Mordecai did to him. And he's going to ask a question, what did I do to Mordecai? While Mordecai and the rest of the Israelites and everyone else have been waiting and fasting for 3 days. See, a lot of times we want to rush God, but God has his perfect time. It's not because he can't do it right now. God can change any situation in your life like this. Just like this, he can change it. But it takes him a much harder time changing your heart and changing my heart. And guess what is one of his best tools to change our hearts? Waiting. That's right. By waiting. Really, God can give us anything that we want right now. If your problem is money, God can drop $10 billion on you right now in your living room. Don't say amen. Really, don't. Because that's not going to change your heart. The problem isn't the money. God can right now drop the spirit of Samson over you, that your body is going to recover from any illness, from anything. God can do it right now without a question. And if it's his will, may it be done. But the problem isn't your health. It's not the money. It's not the disobedience of the children. It's not your neighbor. It's not your boss. The problem that God wants to fix primarily is your heart and my heart. And that requires those very awkward, painful, silent, waiting moments. Ruth had to sit there hearing the clock. They didn't have a clock, okay? But I'm just like imagining hearing the clock go tick, tick. And every time she looks, is he going to wake now? Nope, it's not yet. Is he going to wake up now? Nope, it's not yet. But she was so peaceful about everything that Boaz did not recognize that there's someone at his feet. And we're going to talk about this right now. Sorry, guys, we're running a little bit late. Is it okay to take a few minutes extra?
Yes.
We're going to anyway. I learned that from my pastor. He taught me very well. He said it. He says it every Sunday. So here we go. Verse 8.
Okay, verse 8. It says, around midnight, Boaz suddenly woke up and turned over. And he was surprised to find a woman laying at his feet. I'm telling you, some scriptures in the Bible are awesome. I mean, just fantastic.
So we see this wasn't the fourth watch that we're used to, because we are used to Jesus or God coming on the fourth watch or waiting for the last second. This wasn't the fourth watch. This we're talking about here. Midnight, it's the start of a new day. He had enough rest and Ruth had enough waiting. Let that sink in for a second. He had enough rest and Ruth had enough waiting. Okay, sometimes you might think, God, I know you're ready to do this for me. Yeah, but are you ready for me to do this for you? God is ready. Okay, or maybe God is not ready yet. What? God is not ready? Yeah, sometimes God is not ready, because it's not just all about your story. God is connecting somehow your story with other stories. There are other souls, there are other timing. And if you're his child, if I'm his child, if I'm his worker, and you're his worker, sometimes we need to submit to his timing. Mm-hmm. Where, Lord, I know it's on your heart to give me this blessing, but sometimes I'm not ready for it. We can all agree on that, right? And sometimes he has in his divine purpose that this blessing is not just for me. It's for me, for her, for him, for her, for everyone around me. And he's trying to make it all work together. So at this moment, at midnight, when there is a new day, when there is a new start, Boaz is ready and Ruth is ready. You are ready and God is ready. Oh, what a wonderful moment. This is the moment that we all want for, that we all want. When everything is clicking, and God is about to turn and give us this new season. I know you want it. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. In Jesus' name, that new season, that turn, that midnight, that new day, that new revelation is going to happen. Boaz is about to turn. Jesus is about to turn. And you are going to have enough waiting that taught you the lessons that God wanted to teach you, mm-hmm. that changed you in the way that Jesus wanted to change you. No, this is really good. Okay. She's trying to skip her
I'll
stuff.
I'll just give a plate. Okay, so there is something that I was thinking about as I was reading this whole section about Ruth waiting at Boaz's feet. Besides that it's like really awkward and strange and all that, I wonder if she thought, I know I would be thinking this. What would Boaz think? What's Boaz actually going to think when he wakes up? Like, what is he going to think? What is he going to say? Is this going to be okay, what I'm doing? Ruth had to rely on two things. She had to rely on Naomi, all right, who's been known to be a little shaky in the past. We've seen that. Okay. But the thing she really had to rely on the most is her faith in knowing who Boaz is. she had to be able to remember how kind and wonderful and gentle and what a protector he was and how gracious he was. You know, during those moments when we're asked to wait, when God asks us to wait, that's what we have to do. We have to recall our personal experiences with the Lord and the experiences of those we've seen around us, the experiences we know that are in his word. We have to call on those things. We have to draw on those things through the moments of waiting.
Good. Verse 9, who are you? He asked. I am your servant, Ruth, she replied. Spread the corner of your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer. I mean, we can sit here.
We can just have a whole Bible study about this.
I know the preacher. I see it. Look at Pastor Al. Like the preacher and him, I see the information like through your glasses. Pastor Mike, I see it too. But right now it's time to pay attention to me, to the Bible study. I see that this is making you light up. Like this, we can sit here and talk about this for days and days. And I want you to go home. I'm going to give you a homework today. And I'm going to ask you about,
You said go home. They're already home.
Yeah, no, after the meeting, I'm going to ask you about it next week. If you are asked this question, you're going to write this. However many pages, however many paragraphs, however many sentences you want. If you are asked this question, who are you? How would you answer? If your answer, let me give you some clues. If you start and focus your answers on your job, you might, you know, and your job and what you do for life and where you live and all of that, you might want to re-examine who you are. Because who you are is not your job. Who you are is not where you live. Who you are is not even where you serve. Who you are is not who you're married to. That's not who you are. Okay? If you start and focus your essay on where you were born, the family you belong to, the diplomas you have and all of that, you also might want to test your heart before God, because also that's not who you are. Okay? Try to ask God today. I'm not going to give you any more cues. Try to ask God today. God, would you show me who I am? If I am asked that question and I have to sincerely answer it, what would I write? Truly, if this is a test, you know, and you're going to get either an A or a C based on that test, A or an F based on that test, what would you write? Who are you? This is a spiritual exercise. This is not me being difficult. This is a spiritual exercise. Write down how would you answer that question? Is your identity comes from who you are in God? Is who you are comes from God and from what God has revealed to you and for what God, the plans that God has for you? Or is your identity based on the things that you see here on earth? Try, maybe combination of both, I don't know. Try to answer those questions and see where God leads you. Because I can tell you, when I did that a few years ago, a lot was revealed in me. A lot was revealed in me. My focus on who I am, completely different than the things that God had for me.
Do you want to stop here? Actually, what do you think?
No, let's just finish 9.
Okay.
Nine is big.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we should finish.
Yeah, let's stop.
Because verse 9 has a lot, and maybe we can, you know, take it in more details next week.
Right.
Is that okay? And maybe you guys can study it too. So we have 10 minutes. There are a few things that we discussed. So the first thing that we want to ask you about the stillness and the patience and the peace and the intimacy in God's presence. Okay, I want to hear your own thoughts about that, about how can we achieve that intimacy with God. I want to hear not just your thoughts, I want to hear your experience. Every single one in this room or this chat had that moment with God. Would you help me? Would you help others today sharing with us? How did that moment come?
No, you did the question.
Okay. And let's not wait for one another and waste time. So if you have something, please share it right away.
Oh, how was the question? Again.
What's that about?
Ask the question again, please.
Sorry, you guys were frozen for a second.
You should ask the question.
Okay. Just how have you achieved intimacy with God? What are your experiences in getting to a place where you've had intimate moments with the Lord? Maybe a situation, maybe something specific. What has it been in your life?
But okay, really quick, so to give you an example, for me it has to be really early in the morning. Okay, those like the first thing before anything else, before I do anything, it has to be when I really want to be intimate with God, when I want to pour my heart before God, where I truly have nothing to think about and nothing to plan for. It has to be early in the morning. This is where I truly find this is the perfect time for me to come to God and say, I have no idea what I want to pray about. I have no idea what I want. All I want right now is you. I just want you to show me who you are. I want to be closer to you. I want to love you more. I want you, and I don't want anything else. Can you? And then it just starts. It takes off from there. But for me, I know my settings. My settings, it has to be really early in the morning or really, really late at night. So just, this is just an example.
I'm going to share this real quick. You know that this is like a passion of mine, right? Intimacy with God, it's huge. It's absolutely everything for me. And I think all as far back as I can go, I remember God's like just wooing me into his presence. And he has a way of capturing our attention when we go through difficult seasons in life. You know, you look around you and you're trying to find something that you can hold on. You say that, you know, this works right. This is some, you know, things here is happening, right? But he gets you to a place where you're looking to the right and the left in front of you, you know, then there's nothing that is settling enough to find comfort in. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there. And God uses moments like this to bring you back on your face before God, you know. And I don't know if I've ever mentioned any of this in front of people, but I did, you know, being a pastor's wife, I did that for many years without Christ. Up until really recent, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, where things just began to shift in my life because of difficult situations and things that I felt like were disappointing and hurting in so many ways. It just got me to a place where I pushed everything back and wanted nothing to do with anything. And all I wanted was Jesus himself. You know, I didn't care about ministry. I didn't care about all the other things that I had to, I needed Jesus. That's, you know, good. Because of all the pain that I felt and that's where he met me.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so you talk about, you know, the Bible says that you know, when you go into the room, you shut the door behind you. And there's many ways to do that. And yeah, for me, it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock whenever he wakes me up. This is my way of shutting the door because I know that no one else is going to be awake. It's me and him. And it's been the sweetest ever where I really sense the presence of God right there with me, where he begins to speak to me. And I know I shared this and it's just a small experience and encounter that I had with God that made a world that I'm just going to say that and stop talking. But So it was one of those times where we had recently just moved into this house and we had that little office area kind of empty. And I walked into that room early in the morning, right? We had no furniture in there. It was just me on the floor. And I just began to say, thank you, Jesus. That's all that came out of my mouth. And I felt as if he actually walked into the room. At that time, I was working 40 hours a day. My life was pretty hectic. Tired was it was far more than just being tired. You know, I was just exhausted. But I felt like he came and he sat right next to me. I can't see him, but I felt him. And God did surgery in me. I mean, he brought so much healing in that one encounter that I had with him. I felt like he welcomed me to just sit with him. And I didn't even have to say a word. It didn't have to be anything or anyone different than what I was at that very moment. I felt like he welcomed me to lay my head on his shoulder. And I ended up falling asleep right there. At the end of that, I woke up and I felt like, because in the past, I would always say what I tried to do to connect with him was never enough. I was never reading the Bible enough, never praying enough, you know, and I got to a place where he was saying to me, all I want you to do is just sit with me. I already know everything that you have to tell me. There is nothing new, and there is, yeah, and we know Psalm 139, he says that, you know, before I think of a thought, I already know it. I just, here, come here and just sit right next to me and let me love on you. And you know, in that little encounter, there was so much freedom that God gave me, and I began to realize the friendship that I have with him. Yes, he's my Lord and he's my Savior and he is my absolute everything, but I recognized the friendship that I get to experience with Jesus, where I can just be me and I'm accepted in him. And then things just began to shift for me at that very moment, you know. So I love his presence, and there is absolutely nothing in comparison to intimate, and I can go on forever when it comes to that.
That's such a clear picture of exactly what we were talking about.
It's the same story we were talking
it's
about.
It's such a clear picture of what it means to be truly close with the Lord. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Whoever is gonna come next.
I know. Good luck following that. No. Please. If you have any insight of your stories of intimacy with the Lord, we have a few more minutes. So
yeah, don't worry about the clock. We're yeah. fine.
Sorry, I tend to talk a lot when it comes to stuff like
please.
This.
No, so good. It was so good.
I would say, you know, that during the day, I have few intimacies with God. You know, like in the morning, like Asun said, you know, early in the morning, I grab the Bible and read something. I got a little bit. And then when I start driving to work, put the radio on it, and I listen to the radio, and I got something. I get more intimate. It's one-to-one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When I'm at work, because I'm alone, I have my moments that I have to think about something. So I think about him, and then I say, you know what, you could help me doing this and this and that. Or, you know, my situation, our family, da, da, da. You know what's going on. So it's all in your hands. And then after work, come back and listen to the radio again.
And the
Christian station. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the only one that I listen, okay? It's just the Christian. Anyway. So yeah, that's kind of during the day, it's going, but it's not like precise moments, it's just the sporadics, you know.
Of course.
That's kind of my intimacy with him. And the most that I receive is when I be with all you guys. Mm-hmm. When we have these little meetings,
yeah.
Studying the Bible.
Yeah.
And we get his word, and then I get to know him more. That's knowing that he is present with us. Mm-hmm. He's here. So there you go.
Yeah.
So so good. Thank you so much for
that's
that.
Amazing.
Pastor Edwin, St. Augustine described what you just spoke of as being a constant communion with the Lord, as being in constant communion. In other words, that he's so, we're so close to him, we're so involved, we're so connected, we're so intimate with him, that every part of everything that I do, God never leaves the equation of my thought.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about being in sort of this constant daily communion with the Lord. That's so great.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. I don't know.
That's great.
He truly blessed. That's what he, he's so strong. Yeah. Yeah. To me, it's the same. Before, I used to think that my driving was my time. But, and I used to feel like, not good, but like, yeah, I got this. And now that I've been home, you know, it's early in the, not early for me. I would say when I wake up, because I don't wake up so early. But the first thing, it's that being, and it's amazing because a lot of times, and God is my witness, that sometimes I would listen or read my devotional, or I have some plans in my Bible, and I would read that, and then I would have a meeting, let's say with Dahlia, or with, we meet with Delphine as well, and Sandra and Marcel. And the topic that it was in the morning was that one that we were going to do it, but without planning. And it's amazing how the Lord, not only is the intimacy, but he prepares you to what's coming to hear. And you, and this, like Edwin said, we're so blessed with these meetings with you guys, which is thank you. Thank you for the time and the effort that you guys do. We thank you.
We love you guys.
More for us, really, but thank you so much. Anyone else? Anyone else? Intimacy with the Lord?
Okay, if you don't have anything right now, I really, please think about it tonight. Think about, you know, what was shared. Think about, you know, what Pastor Edwin just shared and Soraya about many moments during the day. Or think about what Dahlia just shared. Dahlia shared exactly what we're telling about the story. Like Ruth was going to a familiar place, a place she worked, a place that she had activities, a place that she was doing this and this and this. But this moment was just about her time with Boaz. And Dahlia was just sharing, I mean, we all know how busy Dahlia is, you know, how much she does for the kingdom and how their whole household is so connected with God and in the work of the ministry. But she chose, like, no, this is different. This is just between a daughter and her father. This is between God and me. These are the moments that really God comes and change our hearts. So think about that for yourself tonight. I really want you to take the challenge of writing that essay, you know, about who you are. And we're going to talk about it. We didn't finish verse 9, and Dina was right. We should leave it to next week.
He seems so disappointed when he says that to you.
No, I'm not. think about, you know, the obedience part of our life. Think about the trust, the love, and the humility. See if that we can apply that in our lives. Just go back and just take these moments and bring them before the Lord. And that could be the intimacy you have between you and God. Mm-hmm. If you're having trouble with humility, if you're having trouble with trust, a lot of us have that, you know, trusting something, trusting someone. And if I can't trust someone that I'm speaking to, how is it that I'm going to trust God that I can't even see, you know? Trusting or accepting the love of God. This is a big thing for a lot of people. Maybe this could be the conversation you and I have with God tonight or tomorrow morning. Lord, I'm not used to receiving unconditional love. I'm not used to receiving love without paying the price, paying something for it. I'm not even used to being loved. You know, maybe that could be the moment that God wants to start intimacy with you and start this conversation with you. I don't want to redo the Bible study again, but honestly, just seeing you guys and seeing everyone here, it brings things out. So we love you all, and this was great, and we'll keep praying for this. We'll be praying for you, and you pray for us as well, and we'll see you next week, and I'm going to ask you about your homework. Amen?
Yeah.
Right, Pastor Mike, can you please close us up in prayer?
Sure thing. Dear Lord, we thank you, give you honor and glory always, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, as we learned today, Lord, for your obedience, Lord, your obedience all the way to the cross, Lord, for us, yes. Sacrificing for us, shedding your blood for us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we pray that you help us, Lord, walk in obedience to you, Lord, to your word, Father God, to your will, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your forgiveness, Lord. If we are, we thank you that you've forgiven us when we were in disobedience, Lord. And we just pray, Father God, you help us stay focused on you, Lord, that we find that place where you lie, Lord Jesus, that place where we can find those intimate moments with you, Father God, whether it be morning, night, whatever the case may be, Lord, but that we find those places, Father God, that we make time for you, Lord Jesus, that we can be obedient to your word, Lord. And as we open up your word and as you speak to us, Father God, Father, you may open our eyes, Lord, that we may know who you call us, Father God. We are the apple of your eyes, Lord. We are your chosen people, Lord, a royal priesthood, more than conquerors, Lord. Father God, we find out that you love us, Lord, that we are not rejected, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Father. Continue to draw us closer, Lord. And we thank you so much for your love, Lord. Father God, we honor you. We praise you, Lord. Father God, we lift up everyone here in this meeting, every family, Lord, represented, Lord. We thank you for your healing touch, Lord. Your spirit dwells in their lives and their homes, Father God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. Those that are lost, Father God, they may be found, Lord. Father God, we just thank you so much for your help, Lord. We thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We love you and we honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And thank you, Pastor Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, guys.
It was a great meeting. Thank you so much.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.